And I just want to start by welcoming everybody. I was counting up who's new here and who's not, and about two-thirds of the committee members are returning members from one time or another, and one-third are new members. So I thought I'd just start with a few preliminary comments, and then we'll do introductions so everybody knows who everybody is. And I just, the main point I wanted to make to all the returning members is that my intention is that this committee will function largely the way it has. So whether you're a minority or majority now, you should know that my intent is to basically follow the system we have for the last 8 years that I've been on the committee. And I also want to say that I want to continue in the tradition of respect that has taken place in the Tax Committee. I have felt as a minority member for 8 years that I have been treated with respect by the new minority when they were in the majority, at least in this committee room. I felt that I had good communication, and I felt the chairs that I served on there were respectful to the minority. So that is my intent to keep that tradition going. I also want to tell you that I personally am a big fan of dissent, and so I hope we'll have a lot of it. But we'll be respectful as we do it. So I like the argument, I like the debate, I like the policy, so I hope everyone will feel that they can be heard, that the public can be heard, that everyone can be respected, but then at the end of the day, we're going to have to make some decisions here, but I hope we're going to have a fun year, if that's possible, in the Tax Committee. So if we can, I'd now like to just go to introductions, then we're going to hear a bill, and members, we're going to pass the bill, hopefully, here today, and that's kind of a rare event on a first committee hearing of the session, but we're going to try to get through that, and then we're going to hear some information from our House staff. So if we can start then with members, and I thought I would just start with my first member to my left, and we'll just go around and do members first, and then we'll move to staff.
To your left. Thank you. I'm Dean Simpson, and this is my third term. I represent East Otter County, Wadena County, and Becker County, District 10B. So, thank you.
And members, he's our minority lead for the committee as well.
And I'm Lyndon Carlson, and I'm not sure, Madam Chair, how you count returning members, because as I look around, when I was last on the tax...
Last
2 cents. Well, I didn't ask Representative Mallory for a definition. I asked. I'm a returning member as well, but there isn't anybody on the committee today that was on the committee when I was last on it. But Representative Robinson, Crystal, Golden Valley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Representative Paul Marquardt. This is my fourth term in legislature, third term here on the Tax Committee. Represent all of Wilkin and Traverse counties, parts of Clay and Becker County, and it's an honor to be serving on this committee.
I'm Representative Deborah Hillstrom. I represent all of Brooklyn Center and parts of Brooklyn Park. That's District 46B. This is my first time on the Tax Committee, and I look forward to your leadership.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Lyle Coonan. This is my third term in the House of Representatives, my second term on the Tax Committee. I represent District 20B, which includes Renville County, Chippewa County, and the eastern half of Yellow Medicine County.
I'm Joe Mullery. I represent the great district east of Lynn Carlson, north half of North Minneapolis.
I'm John Lesh. It's my second term on the Tax Committee, my third term in the House, and I represent the north end and the east side in Coma Park and St. Paul.
Laura Broad, I represent District 25A, which is Lasur County, a little piece of Scott County, and the east half of Sibley County.
Eric Paulson from Eden Prairie, and just because we feel like the Tax Committee not being in room 200.
I'm Maury Lang. I represent Moorhead and Northern Clay County. It's my third term in all three terms I've been on the Tax Committee.
I'm Chris DeLaForest, third term in the House, second term on the Taxes Committee. I represent District 49A, Central Anoka County.
By Powell, third term in the House. This is my first year here on the committee. I live two blocks that way. For the record, I do drive the Capitol.
I'm Tom Tilbury, first timer. Representing District 51B, which is Fridley, Spring Lake Park, Poundsview, and a little bit of Blaine.
Chair members, Joe Atkins from Inver Grove Heights also represents South St. Paul and Sunfish Lake.
Chair Representative Lauren Solberg, District 3B, all of Aiken County and portions of Itasca County, including Grand Rapids. This is my 13th term, my first term ever officially on the tax committee.
Yes.
And so I need to, if I talk about a fiscal note instead of a revenue estimate, you will forgive me.
So we make him go through the hazing too?
Well, just keep in mind, President Atkins, what you might want from the next committee.
Never mind. Just Bilberry.
Hello, Madam Chair and members. I'm Randy Demmer. I represent District 29A, which is all of Dodge County and western northern Olmsted County down by Rochester. It's my third term and my first term on the tax committee.
Afternoon, Representative Jim Dabney from District 62A, South Minneapolis, entering my fourth term in the House, second term serving on the tax committee. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm Tina Liebling from Rochester in my second term now and first time on the Tax Committee and really excited about it. Thank you.
And members, Representative Yaros came in. Mike, did you want to introduce yourself to the committee?
I'm Mike Yaros from Duluth, and I don't know how many years I've been here.
Well, thank you, members. And
you missed one.
I'm sorry. Yes.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members. I'm Sandy Wolschlager from Cannon Falls, Red Wing, Lake City, Wabasha area, and Vice Chair. Thank you.
I apologize for that. It's kind of different to sit up here. And I have to say to Representative Paulson, room 200, I know, I feel the exact same way, and here was the trade-off, members, 8 o'clock in room 200, or this, you know, 10 o'clock on Tuesdays and Wednesdays here. So, you know, that we're gonna do room 10 so that we don't all have to be here at 8 o'clock. So now, members, I'd like to have the staff, if we can start with House Research, I think, and we're going to hear more from them later, but we'd like to have all the House Research staff introduce themselves and then House Fiscal staff.
I'm Joel Michael from House Research, and I won't tell you how long I've been doing this. I think each of us will try to tell you a little bit about the main taxes that we do. I do corporate income, tax increment financing, and the sort of the minor taxes, although Representative Abrams always used to remind me that there are no minor taxes when you have to pay them. And I'm a backup for anybody else, and you can always call me if you don't know who to call.
Nina Manthi, and I do individual income tax, including individual income tax modeling.
I'm Pat Colton. I've been with South Research for 20 years. I do local government aid. I do sales taxes, including local sales taxes, and I do lobbying.
Well, members, I'm Steve Hines with House Research. I've been here a month or two less than Joel, so if you can guess that, here's the difference. I do property taxes and property tax modeling.
If we could jump to fiscal staff then.
I'm Kathy Schill. I work with the property tax area. I take a look at how we work with the spreadsheet. And so that will be the property tax refund, 8 to 10.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Templin, and I was with the House 5 years ago and just returned last February. I focus on income or tax revenue, pretty much everything except for property taxes.
Thank you. And if we could next have DFL staff, we have Katie here and then at the table.
I'm Katie Fenn, and I'm the DFL researcher.
I'm Sarah Carlson Walrath, and I'm the committee administrator for tax.
And I'm Jamie Becker Finn, and I'm the committee legislative assistant.
And members, I don't see Craig. Is he here? He is here. We would, of course. Craig Stone is not going to get out of here by hiding back there. We'll all be using Craig a lot. So, Craig, if you want to stand and introduce yourself to the committee.
Craig Stone, Commander.
Is there other GOP staff here? Okay. And then I would ask that the pages, we have temporary pages. They haven't been assigned to committees, but so we may or may not have these pages permanently, but if the pages could introduce themselves and tell us where you're from.
My name is Chris Parmalee. I'm from Belle Plaine originally. I live in Minneapolis. This is my second week as a page, and I've been on the tax committee for about 15 minutes.
I like him.
Good afternoon. My name is Alicia Luther. I'm originally from Brooklyn Park, and my community is at New Prairie. And I'll be a hot page.
Have you ever said that the staff worked?
No, never.
I'm Marlon Rusty. I've been 26 years.
Okay, thank you. And we need to get to those members who I don't know who they are, so pipe up.
I'm Paul Coles, represent District 34A, which is in western Carver County and a small part of Scott County.
And Tom Rapidina from the Iron Race, I'm taking Dabney's microphone away from him.
Thank you.
I got seniority.
And thank you, members. If there are others as you come in, if you could just let me know. We are going to introduce the Commissioner of Revenue who's with us here and his staff, but I think we'll hold on that. I'm looking for Mr. Innes. Yes. Okay, we'll wait, and we'll have Commissioner Innes introduce his staff when he's at the table. And I do want to tell you, members, that Kathy Schill, fiscal staff, made us brownies. So that is pretty incredible. And I don't know if this is going to start a Shirley tradition of ways and means, but I will pass these around, and thank you very much, Kathy. Oh, Laura says this way. Okay. So thank you, really. We appreciate that. Members, if I might, I just want to bring up a few housekeeping items before we get to the bill. And I do want to just, for returning members, you know a lot of this, but for the audience, for people who don't maybe normally come to the tax committee, I just want to remind members, first of all, that the microphones are extremely sensitive, so of course everything you're saying is being picked up on tape, and if you're okay with that, that's fine, but if you're not, you might want to be careful. Members should know, our staff would prefer that if there's anything you want to save, you return it in your save folder, and anything you leave that's not in the save folder will be pitched. So just know that that's kind of how we're going to control the paperwork in here. My intention is to meet with every single member of the tax committee individually. So Jamie will be calling all of you to set up those appointments. For some of you, you won't feel you need that. So just tell Jamie that you don't want to do that, and no one will be offended. But I would like to have it available for every single member of the committee. Let's see. I want everyone to know in the room that we're kind of all new staff here. This is a whole new thing for us, so I'm asking for some patience. Our staff is, some of our staff members have been here literally 2 days, so we are going to, you know, we'll have some fits and starts, and so we'd ask that members check to make sure they're receiving the tax committee emails, and if you're not on there, if your legislative assistant is not on there, please let us know as soon as possible. I recall when I was a freshman that Chairman Abrams announced the first day, and I've never forgotten this, that there was no attendance in tax committee. And I always thought that was a great idea. So we are not going to mark people absent in this committee. If you're not here, you're excused. I know some committees have you call to get excused, and the CLA has to kind of track you. And we aren't going to have people in the minutes be marked absent. We know everybody here is very busy, so you're either here, and you're going to be marked in the minutes that you're here, but you're not here and you're going to be excused. So no need to let us know about attendance. And then I just wanted to bring up a couple issues with committee members, and that is one of the things I'd like to do is try to get what I would call real people testifying to the tax committee. We hear a lot of people, and we have a lot of people who do great work in bringing issues forward to the tax committee, and they are good at finding people to come forward and give testimony. But if members have thoughts on how to get sort of that, you know, average citizen to come here and tell us what they're thinking about tax issues, I would be happy to try to find a way to implement that. I've always thought that that's one of the failings in the legislature is trying to get people to come to St. Paul, and so anyone who has ideas on that, I'd like to hear them. I should warn people we may meet some evenings, we may meet a weekend or two, hopefully not, but probably a few evenings. And then lastly, I would like to try to do some travel. I have to work with the speaker on how we'd work that out with the committee budget. But if anybody is thinking about it now bipartisanly who may know that you would like us to come to your community and you have the facilities, if you could let Sarah know, that'd be something I'd be interested in, is trying to take the tax committee on the road, and we'll just see if we can make that work. So, with all of those housekeeping items out of the way, we are going to go to the bill. Mm-hmm. And so if Representative Wolfsteiger, you want to join us at the table. Members, the bill is in your folder. Members, I'm not sure what version of the bill you have in your folder. It should say House File 8 now. We introduced it as House File XXX, but I believe now that the revisers have been through, we have the right bill in your folder. So, Representative Wolfsteiger, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Chair Winchesky, I'd like to move House File 8, and I have an author's amendment.
Representative Wolfsteiger moves House File 8 and moves the author's amendment. Now, members, House File 8 is before us. Representative Wolfsteiger, will you tell us about your bill?
Chair Winchesky, members, this is an opportunity for us to pass $20 million in tax relief. It's a rather simple bill, most common approach that federal and Minnesota tax is done together. It's per our Constitution. Congress impacted 2006 taxes after the Minnesota legislature adjourned. A few key provisions: deduction for qualified tuition and related expenses. This allows low and middle income taxpayers to deduct up to $4,000 of higher education tuition and related expenses. In 2004, over 111,000 Minnesota returns claimed this deduction. Another attribute is deduction for classroom teacher expenses. Now, this extends the allowance of the $250 above the line deduction for K-12 educators of the amount paid for books and supplies for the classrooms. And again, this is a provision that Minnesota has adopted in prior years, and in 2004, over 53,000 Minnesota returns claimed this deduction. There's also a provision for combat pay, tax-exempt combat pay, to be used as a basis for making IRA contributions, and this is helpful for our military. Finally, IRA charitable contributions directly from an IRA to the organization of their choice. Certainly they have to be 70 and a half years or older. Now, your summary also includes many others, smaller features, but these are the main, and I'll stop here.
Thank you, Representative Wolfsteiger. If it's all right with the committee, I think we'd like to go to House Research now to actually walk us through the summary maybe an abbreviated version, if we can hold on questions on the bill. Members, we're working off the A1 amendment, and there should be a bill summary in your folder. So we'll have Mr. Michael and Ms. Manzi, I believe, walk us through the summary.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, relatively straightforward federal conformity bill. The thing that's unique about this bill, though, is that it updates to the federal changes that Congress enacted since the legislature adjourned, but only for tax year 2006. So that's the tax year that's already ended for most calendar year taxpayers on December 31st of last year. And obviously the reason for the quick action is because people will very shortly start filing their tax returns, and it's very useful and helpful to both taxpayers, preparers, software developers, and the department to know that Minnesota will follow federal rules on these items, most of which we've already done for tax year 05 and prior years, in preparing their returns and in preparing the software that people use to prepare their returns. Section 1 of the bill is the primary provision in the bill, which essentially says that we're going to use the Internal Revenue Code definitions through the end of the year, which includes three bills that Congress passed after the legislature adjourned. And those three bills are the HEROES Earned Income Retirement Opportunities Act. The main substantive provision in this is to allow soldiers who are in a combat zone to claim the earned income credit at the federal level or the working family credit at the state level using their tax-exempt combat pay. Without that provision, those soldiers would not qualify for the earned income credit if they don't have enough other earnings outside the combat zone. That has a very small, when whoever goes through the revenue estimate, you'll see that has a very small revenue effect. The second federal act that this updates to is the Pension Protection Act of 2006. This Congress passed in August, and it contains a very large number of provisions that relate mainly to retirement plan provisions and so forth. Most of those provisions are effective prospectively, and so therefore really are unaffected by this bill, but there are a number of provisions that are affected, and most of those relate to charitable contributions. Probably the biggest one, or the one that would may affect the most people, is that individuals who are 70 years and a half old or older can transfer up to $100,000 directly from their IRA to a charity. And obviously, some people have probably done that already. The only way this is going to affect them is if they've actually done that. And this will clarify that those same rules apply for Minnesota purposes that they relied on for federal purposes. The reason why people would use that option is by making the transfer directly, it keeps the income from showing up in their federal adjusted gross income, which might result in more of their Social Security being taxable, or that they would qualify for lower itemized deductions or lower exemption amounts. So it's advantageous to the taxpayer to do that, and that's obviously the reason why people would opt for that. There are a number of other changes that are made in the charitable deduction rules, some of which you may have seen in the newspaper, for example, limits on if you donate used household items and clothing, they have to be in good condition. This has been jokingly referred to in the newspaper as the don't, you know, give your underwear to Goodwill and claim a tax deduction for it. And it also requires appraisals when the value of the item is over $500. I won't go through the excruciating detail of all of the bullet points that appear on page 2 of the summary. Another one that probably is worth highlighting are the new conservation easement rules, which make it easier, more advantageous to transfer conservation easements that restrict the use of land to either nonprofit organizations like the Nature Conservancy or to governmental entities like the state or a county. The third bill that passed was the bill that the lame duck Congress passed in the middle of December. It's called the Tax Relief and Health Care Act of 2006. And so most of the provisions that Representative Wolfschlager referred to are from that bill. The tuition deduction for higher education costs, classroom teacher expenses, and so forth. There are also a few business provisions in this. There are special rules that relate to how people who own property in leased restaurant facilities and other some other retail facilities, how they can depreciate their equipment, and so forth. So anyway, section two or section one is the main provisions of the bill, and you, with regard to section two, is actually in the amendment, and this relates back to the IRA transfer provision that I described before. In order to make sure that those essentially that money does not show up in their federal adjusted gross income at all, and to make sure that under Minnesota's deduction for non-itemizers for charitable contributions, that they can't claim that deduction a second time and deduct, not only not report the income, but then also claim a deduction to reduce their other income. The amendment clarifies that if that kind of transfer was involved, that does not qualify for the non-itemizer deduction. Sections 3 and 4 of the bill simply do update the code for the other provisions in Chapter 290, and Section 4 reflects the property tax refund provisions. So if there are any questions, I'd be happy to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Representative Solberg.
Madam Chair and Mr. Michael, on the spreadsheet that's before us, give me a little bit of information. On line 40, on the second page, I think it is, as an example, where revenue loss is 230 for 06-07, and then on line 52 in the next page, line 54 is the same thing, or I guess 40 is 53. It's 600. Can you give me why it appears twice and it appears to be counted twice?
Representative Solberg and Mr. Michael, if you want to handle that, otherwise we'll ask fiscal staff to come to the desk, either Ms. Schell or Ms. Temblin, and they can address the spreadsheet issues. And members, as they're coming up, and Representative Solberg, we will have, I believe Commissioner Inez has staff with him who will do some more discussion in this area. But let's, Representative Solberg, did you want to add
I'm
that?
I'm not sure. I noticed there's a difference in the effective date.
One's corporate.
I'm sorry. Okay. Maybe there's a...
Would you like to go first, Mr. Michael?
I think, Madam Chair, it's probably better for fiscal staff to respond to this, but this accounting on these revenue estimates is done oftentimes by tax type. And if an individual or S-Corp partnership owns the restaurant, they take it as an individual tax, whereas if it's a corporation that owns it, it shows up under the corporate franchise tax. And so there's not double counting, it's just the two components of the cost.
Thank you.
And Representative Solberg, that's a good question. I think I can see that you understand the answer, but I think it is worth the committee's focus for a minute or two to listen to Ms. Templin. We'll see a number of these similar things like this throughout the year. So maybe, Ms. Templin, if you can walk us through and cite the line.
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, just to repeat the question, I believe from what I heard, there was a question about line 40 and line 52.
Madam Chair, there's a couple of like 40, 41, 42. I see there's a revenue loss. And then I go to the next one, and there's, I think, maybe the similar topic on 52, 53, 54 and in those areas. And I see the heading up there is corporate as opposed to individual, but...
Madam Chair, Representative Solberg, yes, that is correct. As Mr. Michael stated, there are revenue losses in the first year for those provisions on those lines in tax year 06, and one is for corporate tax, and the others are for individual income tax, and those lines that you are referencing have to do with depreciation and expensing. And...
Thank you, Ms. Templin. Were there other questions for Ms. Templin or fiscal staff? Representative Solbert.
Just one other question, and I apologize, but I noticed in line 40, 41, and 42 that the effective date goes through 12/31/07, and all the rest of them in the, on the spreadsheet are for tax year 06. Can you give me an explanation of that? Is that the federal law?
Representative Solbert, Madam Chair, that should be tax year 06.
Okay, so thank you, Ms. Tessin.
Okay, thank you for the correction.
Members, you can see that Representative Solbert is paying very close attention to every spreadsheet, and we appreciate that. Other questions, members? If not, I think I'd like to invite Commissioner Ines to join us. As he comes down, members, we want to congratulate Commissioner Ines. He's our the new head of the Department of Revenue, and we welcome him and congratulate him on his new role, and we'll all be spending a lot of time together. So, Commissioner Ines.
Yes, thanks, Madam Chair. I appreciate it much. First and foremost, I want to thank the Madam Chair and the committee for hearing this bill in an expedited manner. I met with the governor on Friday, and he wanted to make sure everyone knew of his gratitude to you guys fast-tracking this, trying to get it passed as fast as possible to accommodate some pretty tight timelines. And it's in the best interest of the taxpayers as far as complexity and as far as confusing the taxpayers. If we can get this thing passed in relatively short order, I think everybody will be a beneficiary. So I really appreciate it, Madam Chair, and the governor appreciates it. I'd like to introduce, if I could, the Department of Revenue team. And probably the people you guys will see the most in this committee. Many of you are familiar with the lot. Most of the team, I think most of you have worked with in the past. The one you'll probably have the most contact with is Jack Manson. He's an assistant commissioner, and his portfolio includes a lot of things. But for the next 4 or 5 months, his primary responsibility is all things related to the legislature. So he'll spend a lot of time in this room, a lot of time in room 15, a lot of time in conference committee. He is our primary point person with regard to legislature. His right-hand man, or woman, I should say, right-hand person is Linda Moser. She's our legislative liaison, and she'll be spending a lot of time in this room. So if you have any question for me, Jack, you can't get hold of us. Linda is the conduit. She's great, top-notch. She's a great source of information and a great conduit to the agency. Another person you'll probably see a fair amount of is John Haugen. He's back there. You guys are familiar with him. He's our income tax guru, both corporate and individual. And he doesn't want to admit that, but he is. And so, yeah, he's here for special matters relating to income taxes. He'll be here to walk through provisions. Who else do we have? Dr. Paul Wilson right here. He's a director of research for the department, a former House staffer. And he's here. He'll be walking through the revenue estimate here in a little while. What else have we got? We got Assistant Commissioner Carol Wald here. You probably won't be seeing a lot of her in committee, but she has a special interest in this federal conformity bill because she's responsible for making sure we get all the forms out, the instructions out to the taxpayers, and all this goes as smoothly and seamlessly as possible. So you'll see her on select occasions, I suppose, but the general rule, she probably won't be here. I think that's everybody from Team Revenue that's here right now, at least. And as you know, I mean, we have different experts in different areas, so if there's something on tobacco taxes, we'll bring whoever you guys need in order to testify. It's a pretty large agency with a lot of expertise, so got a good staff. We've always worked exceedingly well with your staff, committee staff, partisan and nonpartisan both. I mean, Joel Michael, MJ, and the Senate, Karen Baker, and everybody. So we look forward to working with everybody. We are here as a resource. And so anything you guys need, anybody in the committee needs anything, some advice and counsel or some information on individual bills, we're here to help and do what we can to help you guys in your legislative session. So.
Well, thank you, Commissioner, and welcome to the staff members of the Department of Revenue. It's always difficult for returning tax committee members to hear Dr. Wilson get introduced because we all know that he should be with us, but we welcome you. And Commissioner Ines, did Mr. Manson or did anybody else want to comment further on House File 8?
Well, I don't think so. If there's any other individual questions particular to the bill, I'm more than happy John Haugen could answer any of those. I thought it might be of some value to have Dr. Wilson walk the revenue estimate if you would like.
That would be
maybe
fine.
Some additional questions from Chairman Solberg over there. Okay, so if maybe Dr. Wilson will come down, we can just walk through the revenue estimate. That shouldn't take too long.
That'd be great. If you could join us, Dr. Wilson, and members, if you have questions when we're through with this. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. First, we want to congratulate you, Madam Chair, on your new position.
Thank you.
You have the revenue estimate in front of you. I want to make some introductory comments. I'm not going to go through every point on it, but I certainly can answer questions on the individual items if you'd like. In doing these revenue estimates, the largest two items are based on actual Minnesota experience. And if you turn to the third page, the largest item is toward the bottom, extend deduction for up to $4,000 of higher education tuition expenses. So, as was mentioned, that's the largest expense in here. That's modeled on the income tax model, and that's by far the largest piece of the revenue estimate. A second substantial piece is right below it, the extend deduction to educator classroom expenses for up to $250 has been mentioned. And the cost of that is $1 million for the tax year 2006. Those two items, I say, are modeled based on the income tax model. All the other items that are listed here, the way we do the revenue estimate is to take the federal estimate of the cost and scale that estimate to Minnesota. And that requires us to take two steps. First, to scale the magnitude of the economic of the item itself to Minnesota. If it's related to population, it might be a 1.7% of the nation. If it's related to income, we're about 1.9% of the income in the nation. If it's related to employment, we're closer to 2%. Some of the business items were closer to 2.2%. But that's the first scaling, and then we scale it because the federal income tax rates are obviously different than our income tax rates. So we take the federal estimate, we scale it based upon our share of the national economy for that item, and then our relative tax rates. And each of those vary by item. A couple other comments. There are some items that we're conforming to that are not on the list because their costs are negligible. So except for the HEROES item, very first item on the list, there are some other smaller items, but all of them are less than $500,000 at the federal level and too small to show up in our estimates.
Thank you.
One other comment that I would make is that you do see some costs in the out years. Costs and, in fact, some positive numbers in the out year. So if you look at the items on, particularly if you turn to the last page of the revenue estimate, you'll see some numbers in the out years. And, again, that's explained because these are depreciation or expensing items. If a business gets to take a bigger deduction in the first year they own the asset, then they will be taking a smaller deduction in later years. And so there is some ongoing revenue impact of these items. And that's the only place we show ongoing revenue impact. So I can certainly respond to questions on individual items, but most of these, other than those larger items, are fairly technical. And I wanted to answer questions if people have interest in that.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson. Are there any questions for Dr. Wilson? Well, then, thank you. And do we have anybody who would like to testify on the bill? Well, if not, members, discussion, Representative Rukavina.
Madam Chair, is it your intent to move this bill by itself, or is this going to go on with this?
No, it's been moved, and our intention is to hopefully you all will decide to vote it out of this committee today. I want to thank publicly Representative Solberg for working on the calendar for this bill. We're hoping to actually get it to the floor on Thursday. The Senate is hoping to hear the bill Wednesday and have it on the floor Thursday as well, adopt the House language, because there is a small revenue raiser in the bill, members, so we'd have to use the House file. And we believe we've had a good, strong agreement with Senator Senjum, Senator Bach, Representative Seifert, Representative Kelleher, and the Governor's Office. So we're hoping to get this done as quickly as that we can. And the reason, members, is that with electronic filing beginning in a few days, if
the revenue department cannot create the new forms in a timely fashion, we are going to have about over 100,000 families in Minnesota who will not receive the tax deduction for tuition for their children who are in college, and about 53,000 teachers who can expense the cost to them for buying classroom supplies. So if we were to come later then in the tax omnibus bill and conform at that time for filing Euro 6, what would happen is, if you're a Minnesotan in this situation, you would file your taxes incorrectly, really, because you'd be following the letter of the law, because we wouldn't have conformed. And then you'd have to go back and amend your taxes later. So you'd be angry twice. First, because you didn't get the tax relief that Minnesota didn't give you, and then again when you do get it, but you have to go change everything. So we are trying to help 2006 filers in a timely fashion so revenue can get the correct form in the hands of the parents of kids in college and teachers, and of course the combat veterans.
Sure, I'm just curious as to where's the 24 plus million dollars then is obviously a one-time $1 billion money, so that's where it's coming from, out of that money. Well, or did you print money when you were in Bloomington the other day, or when?
Well, is there a way to do that? Representative Rukavina. And I think I'll let Representative Solberg speak to that. You know, we've had, as I stated, you know, Senator Pogemiller and Representative Kelleher and the governor's office are trying to deal with this in a one-year way for 2006-year conformity. For this tax relief to happen permanently, we will have to address it again in the omnibus tax bill for the rest of the years. But this issue is very immediate. As you know, Representative Rukavina, Minnesota follows the federal taxable income. We are a conforming state, and we do conform. So I think what was thought in leadership is if we're going to conform anyhow in May, we should do it now and save nearly 200,000 filers a headache. As to where it's going to come from, I will not speak for Representative Solberg, and I will let him take I have a guess, but I will let him answer that question.
But Madam Chair, it probably comes out of your committee budget. No, since it goes to a trip to Cancun. No, we will probably be counting this as from the one-time money that's available on the bottom line. Obviously, if you extend it into the next fiscal years, it'll be part of the target that's given to the tax committee to continue that confirmation. I think with the exception, I think if I recall in the fiscal note, it's or revenue estimate, it's about 1.7 or one something like that, million that's ongoing. I'm sure we will be bypassing the Ways and Means Committee for this bill. In order to do that, we'll be asking to suspend the rules on the House floor to do that, because it should be going through the Ways and Means Committee. But we will try to get it to the governor's office so that the proper forms can be printed before the electronic filing starts.
Thank you, Representative Solberg. Representative Brock.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe Mr. Michael can answer my question. Do you have any idea, ballpark figure, on how much conformity we have left to do? I imagine this doesn't fully conform us, and what that would cost.
Madam Chair, Representative Broad, it might actually be good to bring Dr. Wilson back up. The department that has prepared a revenue estimate for a full update, I think, for each of those three pieces, and so those numbers are available. I have not personally tried to sum those three permanent provisions and then subtract this, which is, I think, what you'd need to do, and maybe I think Paul probably can tell you what that number is.
Dr. Wilson.
Madam Chair, Representative Broad, we do have an estimate for the full update. Again, we haven't done the separate pieces, but for the full update, almost all the cost that would show up in 07 is being done in this bill. There is an additional about $28 million in fiscal year 08, plus another five in 09, or four in 09. And then in the out biennium, there's another little bit over $20 million for the biennium.
Thank you.
So there's substantially more. It's most of its second year, mostly extended for 2 years, so it's mostly the second year of the items you're doing for 1 year.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson. Representative Broad.
Madam Chair, and maybe Mr. Wilson, how about items that were not conforming? Are we conforming everything to the federal code today, just for a year?
Madam Chair, Representative Broad, no, we're not. We are conforming to, this bill will conform to all the items that were included in these bills that affect, let Mr. Michael correct me if I'm wrong. I think we conform to every item in the bills that were enacted that it would affect us in terms of the federal taxable income. But we're not, there are other items we're not, there are other items we've not conformed to as a state, and so we're not conforming to other things that we were already out of conformity to before they passed these bills.
Representative Brown.
Madam Chair, and maybe Mr. Michael then, what ballpark figure do we have left to do if we wanted to conform in other ways? I'm thinking, you know, we're picking and choosing our conformity in many ways, and yes, we're conforming to what was passed after we were done, but I'm wondering what compels us to do that versus to conform in other ways, which, for example, the estate tax comes to mind. I look down, and I see that we're extending, accelerating depreciation for businesses on reservations, but not accelerating depreciation for businesses throughout the entire state of Minnesota. So I'm trying to understand what compels us to act in one manner versus a more, I guess, more balanced way.
Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Representative Broad, I think in the there are a few items that the legislature consciously chose in previous sessions not to conform to for a variety of reasons. I think revenue considerations are probably the biggest of those. And as you indicated, for example, we did not conform on the increase in Section 179 expensing. And we also, for example, the subsidies that are paid to companies who still provide prescription drug coverage to people over 65. We deviate from the federal on that. And again, I think those were done for revenue purposes in the 2005 session and the 2006 session. In preparing this bill, essentially the guideline or the rule that was used was to update to the items that Congress enacted after the legislature adjourned in May. And the assumption of the people that put the bill together was, well, the legislature made a conscious decision not to conform on those other provisions. And so taxpayers and the Department of Revenue and tax preparers always had expected and, in fact, you know, had, I think, planned that there would be no conformity on those items, and so that's why they were not included in this bill. But it certainly is a policy choice, particularly as you get into the session, that you may well want to rethink that with the state's revenue situation being different.
Representative Broad.
Madam Chair, I'm done after this. I guess I'll just make one comment, is that I'm a little concerned about the one piece in regards to accelerating business property on one area of our state and not others, and so I'll just leave it at that, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Broad. I think Representative Lanning has a comment or question as well, and I did just want to comment. What Representative Broad raised is accurate. I assume the things that we have not conformed to, we will see in bill form again. I think the estate tax has been introduced every year that I've been here, and that generally has not passed. Expensing is one, and I think that's something in the prescription drug area as well. I think that's one that committee members are not very, very aware of, and I think we will spend some time on that this year. But for newer members, you'd recall an example would be that you voted for last year on the floor is the standard deduction took a long time for the legislature to conform to. So when it's a big revenue price tag or when there's controversy around the policy, then sometimes we do not conform. I think it's somewhat subjective, but fair to say that this package is trying to be just passing tax relief that's happened since last May. Again, bipartisan agreement, and governor's office agrees. We're trying to
we think these items are not that controversial. And certainly that is subjective, and people will vote accordingly, but I do, Representative Broad is right to raise the point that we have not always conformed to everything. Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad that we are working to fast-track this legislation, and it certainly is needed. My question is that in spite of the fast-track, we undoubtedly are going to have people who will submit their tax returns before they even know about this or before it's finally signed into law. And the question I have of the department is, what does the department plan to do to notify those people who will have already submitted their returns if they become aware of it later and no one has told them that they're now eligible? They're not going to be happy with us, so maybe someone from the department can address this.
Mr. Manson, could you join us at the table? And I think Representative Lanning has raised a very serious and real question, and we do need to know how Revenue intends to address those few filers who will get in under the gun before we have a bill signed by the governor.
Madam Chair and Representative Lanning, I'm Jack Manson with Minnesota Department of Revenue. There's a couple things we intend to do, and of course, early passage helps solve a lot of our problem and really minimizes the impact on the number of taxpayers we do have to notify and try and get the word out to that may have filed and have to subsequently amend to get the refund. First thing we would do, we have what we have is the M1NC forms, which are in your packet. That's a two-page form with about 3 pages of instructions. And what we would first do is pull that off of our website and kind of notify the taxpayers if they've disregarded that form. If they filed, they would need to amend and what steps they need to take. The other most important thing is we want to notify the tax preparers and our software developers. We would also do that on our website as well. We're also going to send a newsletter, electronic newsletter, to all preparers, directly notify software developers, and notifying them that if they've made programming changes, they have to undo those changes so that the e-file programs are accurate when people file. So it's the sooner we can do this, the sooner we can get the word out there. The deadline that I kind of heard in the Department for Software Developers was January 12th, so that's why January 11th works very well for us. So hopefully, I think the software developers are dragging their feet a little bit. Hopefully, there will be an emergency bill so they don't have to spend hours and hours programming, because they are dealing with various states that are trying to do both the federal law changes and the state law changes. So anyway, so we're trying to get an early message to them that hopefully something will happen. They won't have to undo their programming. Also, most taxpayers don't file yet this early in January. They're still waiting for their W-2s. And so by middle of January, the numbers that would file will be very, very small. In fact, through January, I think there's only, out of our large population of filers, only about 117,000 actually file electronically by the end of January. And most people file electronically when they file early. So we don't think there'll be that large a group of taxpayers that we'll have to notify, but best thing we can do is get notification on our website. And we did, when we printed our forms and instructions for this year, we did put a disclaimer in there that because of the legislature was out of session, they couldn't adopt federal changes. There may be some adoption of those provisions, and that they will just have to keep checking our website and if necessary, amend their returns. But just kind of just get the word out as best we can to prepare, especially the software developers, and then on our webpage.
Representative Lanning.
Just so I understand this correctly, will the taxpayers who have already filed get a direct notification from the department that this is now changed, or is it going to be indirect through other publications or tax preparers' information, et cetera?
Madam Chairman and Representative Lanning, first thing is to get it out publicly as much as we can. We will try and take whatever steps we can to identify these taxpayers after the fact. And it is the biggest users or the biggest groups are the teachers in the higher ed tuition expenses, which would be add-backs on the reform. So we would be able to determine which individuals that did add back those expenses are and are subsequently entitled to a refund. So it's a manual process, and we're hoping but to minimize those amount of taxpayers by this early package. But it's going to be a combination, and hopefully if we can get the public notices out, that would be the best route immediately anyway.
Well, Madam Chair, and
Representative
Lanson, as much as is practically possible, I would hope that it would be a direct notification to the taxpayers who have already filed.
Madam Chair and committee members, that's what we have tried to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there other questions for the Representative Rugavina?
Well, Madam Chair, Manson, I know, you know, 20-some million bucks is chump change for you at the Department of Revenue. You're looking billions of dollars, but it's still kind of real money up on the Iron Range. So I just want to look at these two biggest ones here. What's currently, how does the education deduction, how is this going to be affected? And what's the average, then, break for the Minnesota taxpayer if we're rushing to help here, spend this $18 million plus? What's the average amount going to get back?
Mr. Manson?
Madam Chair, Representative Rukavina, what I do know is the teachers that take the $250 expenses that they use in the classroom, teachers that claim that deduction, I believe, is around 54,000, 55,000 taxpayers. I don't know what tax rate they're paying at. Regarding higher ed tuition, I believe that last year there was about 110,000 of those individuals, and I as well don't know the tax rate for those individuals. Maybe Dr. Wilson would have that information. Madam Chair and Representative Rukavina, Dr. Wilson is just handing me a paper. The average tax benefit for the teachers taking the supply expense is $165. Correct?
Mr. Manson.
Madam Chair, the average for the teachers is about $20. Mm-hmm. $250 times a 30. Yeah, it doesn't
should,
add up to much.
I think we should give the governor a bargaining chip for that.
The average for the tuition deduction is about $165. These are per return, $165 per return. Again, no one, it is capped in terms of income, too, so it's no one over $160,000 can receive it.
Mr. Manson, following Representative Rukavina's question, can you tell us the deduction for the higher ed expense for the provision for folks with kids in college, that is for, is it four, it's 4,000 for married joint filers and half that for singles, and it's incomes up to what number?
Madam Chair, I'm John Haugen from the Department of Revenue. The $4,000 ends at, I believe it's $65,000 for a single person. Double that for a married couple. Then you that's at 4,000. Then you drop down to 2,000 if you're over that. Once you go over $80,000 for a single person, in other words, $160,000 for married filing joint, then you don't get any deduction at all. So there's actually cliffs in the federal, which is sort of unusual.
Thank you.
And the other thing that goes on is the fact that for the very low income people, they're probably taking the HOPE credit or the lifetime learning credit. To the extent you're taking those, you can't take this one. So this is sort of more of a middle-income taxpayer program.
Thank you, Mr. Haugen. Other questions? Is there any other discussion of the committee or anybody from the public who wanted to speak to the bill? Representative Cole.
Madam Chair, maybe a question for you. And maybe you can phone a friend in Representative Carlson or Representative Solberg. Can you just, I mean, you know, this bill was introduced today, and I'm fine with what we're doing here. I think that on Thursday I'll probably support the motion to suspend the rules and move this thing along. But I'm a little concerned about, you know, how quickly we're doing this. We're bypassing one committee. I know that we made some changes to the House rules, and tax bills used to have to go to Ways and Means. So I suspect that that's part of the motion on Thursday. But
given the new committee structure, are tax bills going to be going to Representative Carlson's committee as well? How are things going to move through the process? I'm trying to figure that out. And are we going to, I mean, is this the only one that you anticipate moving through in kind of an expedited manner? And are we going to hold everything else for an omnibus bill at the end of session? Or is it too early to tell? Can you just help us out a little bit there?
Thank you, Representative Cole. That was a lot of good questions there right in a row. I'll let Representative Carlson and Representative Solberg speak to your first question, and my understanding is that tax committees will, or tax bills will go through Ways and Means. That would be the normal process, but if I misunderstand something, we'll have Representative Carlson and Representative Solberg discuss how they think it'll work. But to your question on, you know, what will we do with next bills, you know, I've thought about that a lot, and I've weighed the sort of really decision of a chair to hear every bill, vote on every bill, or lay them over for possible inclusion into an omnibus tax bill so the committee can do work in a more substantive way as a committee. I do know, you know, historically I've thought about it, and we have had an omnibus tax bill, but we've also had some bills travel on their own, and then we hear, you know, the K-12 bill, and we hear the transportation bill. We've done the outdoor sales tax amendment. We've done, you know, kind of a mismatch. And so I have not completely decided what to do there, and I'm open to any member's input on how exactly we'll do that. My intention would be that we would have an omnibus tax bill, but exactly how we'll define that, we will be having a property tax division report. Representative Marquardt is chairing that division. And so I think, you know, I'm open, and I'd like input on that, but I don't anticipate this happening again. This really is, and I apologize, I did not have copies of the letter made from the governor that was sent to me and to Senator Bach, but I do think this is a unique situation. It's an emergency situation from the perspective of those, you know, 170,000, 180,000 filers. The Congress has decided to provide tax relief to these folks, and this bill ensures that Minnesotans can participate in that relief. So I think we have this unique situation, as you've heard from Revenue, that they are really, I wouldn't want to say they would agree with me on this, but my feeling is if we don't do it now, then we might as well wait till May, because we're going to get into the situation that Representative Lanning has highlighted, that every day we lose, we're going to have a lot of filers who are in a difficult situation and trying to find them and get them the money back that we would if we chose to conform later. So what I would say, the fact that the Senate is moving on this and the governor is supporting it, let's say we didn't pass it, it tells me that people are going to support it in May, at least the governor's office. I can't speak for him, but the commissioner's nodding and the Senate. So I think it's just a difficult situation, and I appreciate that people are tolerant of it, and Senator Representative Solberg is working with us on it as well, as is Representative Seifert. And so I understand the concern and precedent and where we're going, but I do think this is really not about the House or the Senate or the governor. It's about Minnesota filers. So I think that's why we're all here today, to try to get those forms corrected just absolutely as quickly as we can. But any input you have on how we put things together down the road, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Representative Cole.
Well, just, I want to make sure, you know, the Senate's introduced a few proposals already this year. I understand we're working with them and they're moving the bill, but do we have is there an agreement from the Senate that this isn't going to come back with, lit up with a few extra ornaments? There were, I think, a couple of those early Senate introductions contained some various tax increases, and I want to make sure that I understand that, you know, the agreement is this is the bill we're passing. Is that what your understanding is? Is Senator Pogamiller, have you talked with him about this? Or
Representative Cole, that is my understanding. And I can tell you as the tax chair for the House that if there is a problem in any of the scenarios that you have just raised, I will alert the speaker immediately and we will be talking to the Senate. But I do trust that they're going to do as they stated, as I trust the governor. I know Commissioner Innes has worked with Senator Bach very closely on this, and I don't have any reason to believe that the Senate or the governor or the House is not being sincere in their approach. I've spoken with Senator Representative Seifert about it. I know that Senator Bach has met with Senator Senjum. I believe he's the second author on the bill, and I know the governor is pushing hard. So I think there's good intentions, and I may be mistaken. Maybe someone else has some other information, but I'm trusting that people are doing this at face value.
Just one final question, Madam Chair, and I'm not sure if this is for you or if it's for Representative Wolfswager. I understand the fiscal implications, but from a policy perspective, is there any difference in doing this just for 2006 versus doing it for the whole biennium? Just purely from a policy perspective, I understand the revenue implications of that, but
Representative Wolfswager, if you want to answer that, otherwise we can ask House staff to answer that. I don't know your preference.
I'll defer to House.
Okay. Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, Representative Coles, I think that the only difference is the sort of the need to act quickly because people are going to be filing. You know, and a lot of these provisions, as Dr. Wilson indicated, were extended by Congress for two tax years, for 06 and 07. And so, sure, as a matter of policy, if you're saying, yeah, we're going to do it for 06, we're probably going to do it for 07, too, so we could do it permanently. But, of course, we don't need to do it permanently. And, you know, so there's more time for deliberation, and then, obviously, it enters into the budget calculations, too. And so I think that's the only rationale for the distinction.
Thank you. I meant to go back. I said that we would ask Representative Carlson, Representative Solver to address the concern of where tax bills will go. And if it's all right with the author and the audience, I think it's worth a minute or two of the committee time to talk about that because this is going to come up again and again. And so it is something new. And I would like to ask our new finance chair and ways and means chair to sort of address how they see the tax committee interacting with the finance process. So thank you for that.
Madam Chair, for the members that have been around a while, if you were to turn the clock back a while and strike the word finance and insert the word appropriations, that's essentially the system we have. And historically, the tax bill never went through appropriations. So I think your description of what the process will be for the tax bill is very accurate. In fact, it's the flip side. When bills leave finance that have tax implications, then they would be re-referred here. The obvious example is K-12 finance. When it leaves us, then it'll come to the tax committee and then ultimately to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Representative Carlson. And Representative Solberg, did you want to add to that?
I think he's addressed it very accurately, as I understand it, and quite frankly, Representative Coles, if this wasn't some kind of an emergency, particularly the January 12th date, we would probably bring it to Ways and Means, because I do want to have the system have the county. But because of the January 12th date for the forms to be out, I thought, you know, the best thing is for the House to suspend the rules, and that seems appropriate. It'll probably be the exception instead of the rule.
Thank you. Other questions? Other comments? Well, if not, Representative Wolfswager, would you like to renew your motion for House File 8? Oh, excuse me, Representative Brott.
Madam Chair, we want everybody on record in a positive way so we can be positive and respectful going forward. Let's have a roll call on this.
Thank you, Representative Broad. Representative Broad, request a roll call. We'll do that, members. And as we do that, just hang on here a minute now, Jamie. Our committee legislative assistant, you know, has not taken the role before, so this is going to be a great time for all of us to make corrections on name pronunciations, etc. So this will be a good first shot, and pardon me, one moment, please. Representative Solberg.
I think the motion has been passed, but Emery referred to the House floor has not been included yet in the motion. So would you restate the motion as it's supposed to be?
Representative Wolfswager renews her motion that House File 8 be recommended to pass and sent to the House floor.
Thank you.
As amended.
We haven't adopted the amendments yet either?
I believe the author incorporated it, so we'll go ahead and...
Right.
Representative Cole, thank you, Representative Solar.
Madam Chair, I'm really, truly not trying to throw a wrench into this, but is it going to the floor? Is it going to rules? Does it stop at rules first? I just want to understand the process as we move forward throughout the session, not only here, but it's, and I'm not trying to throw a wrench, I'm just trying to understand where things are going. And
thank you. Thank you, Representative Cole, and you're right.
So it's to the general legislature,
you know,
is it then goes through rules? Or
we may have to take a moment.
Because...
Because I do not know the answer to that.
Well,
it's going to rule. No, I know you're not. I know you're not. And I appreciate that, Representative Coles.
Madam Chair, as I understand it, Representative Coles, motions go to the recommended pass and go to the House floor. That goes to the General Register. There are a couple of ways to bring it up on the General Register. I think I or my designee, under current rules, I think it's Ways and Means, can announce it and bring it up,
no.
Or the Rules Committee can meet and bring it up. Generally, what happens on that, I think there is at least a courtesy to announce it 24 hours before, but I don't think the rules preclude us from announcing it and bringing it up right away. I might be mistaken. There's been a change in the rules since mm-hmm. I last participated in that. One of those two ways.
Well, members, we're pausing and we're thinking. Mr. Michaels, I mentioned that we needed to adopt the amendment. However, I thought you had incorporated it into your motion, but we're going to go ahead as we pause on where the bill is going, and we're going to vote on the motion to incorporate the author's amendment into the bill. So members, all in favor, unless you wanted a roll call on that too. All in favor of incorporating the author's amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. So now members, I think we're going to make a decision here, looking at Representative Carlson and hearing what Representative Solberg said. This bill will go to the General Register. And if for some reason that changes, I'm certain we'll hear about that. So then the appropriate motion, Representative Wollschlager renews her motion that House File 8 be recommended to pass and move to the General Register. So now members, we'll call the roll.
Franceschi?
Aye.
Atkins?
Aye.
Broad?
Aye.
Carlson?
Aye.
Dabney?
Aye.
De La Forest?
Yes.
Demmer?
Yes.
Dill?
Yep.
Hillstrom?
Yes.
Jarls?
Aye.
Coonan?
Aye.
Cole?
Aye.
Lanning?
Yes.
Lesh? Liebling?
Aye.
Marquardt?
Aye.
Mowry?
Aye.
Paulson?
Aye.
Rukavina?
Aye.
Simpson?
Aye.
Solberg?
Aye.
Powell?
Aye.
Tilbury?
Aye.
Wollschlager?
Aye.
And Zellers?
Aye. members, the motion passes 24-0. And the bill is the House File 8 is adopted. Thank you, Representative Wollschlager. I also want to thank Representative Solberg for working through this with us, and Commissioner Ines as well, and the Department of Revenue for being here. And members, we were going to begin next the House briefing. This is the most important thing we do, in my opinion, at the beginning of a biennium, is hear from the House research staff. As you all know, they are the ones who really understand more than we can imagine. And due to the lateness of where we're at in the committee now, we're just going to go ahead and adjourn. We'll start fresh with the next committee with House Briefing, and I thank you all members. We are adjourned.